Good evening, folks. This is Carol Nevers, and by golly, it is Saturday. You know, it's my favorite time of the week. And guess who I have with me tonight? My special friend.
Good evening, Carolyn. Good evening, everyone. This is Richard.
Man, you sound serious tonight.
I'm real serious.
Are you from serious?
Well, who knows?
Okay. Friends, we've got a special show tonight. And I think I say that every week, don't I? And you know what? I really believe it. But tonight is a little different. If you're familiar with our show, you know we usually speak to someone on the other side. Someone who has transitioned. But tonight, we're not quite doing that. If you got our email, signed up for our messages and emails, you know that tonight is a night that we are speaking to Babaji. Now, if you're not familiar with Babaji, just let me tell you a little bit about him, because this is an extraordinary being. Babaji is certainly a master. He has been in a body on this planet for an exceptionally long period of time. We're going to discuss all of this. I find that just amazing myself, and I hope you will too. So sit back, enjoy yourself. This is going to be a very unusual show tonight. If you are one of these individuals who listen to us, well, I'm going to give you a gold star. You know that how we work this is to call the person's name, put your attention in the third eye, call him, and you could connect with him as Richard connects with Babaji and explains to you what he feels by an energetic connection. And you might feel that also. So this is a marvelous exercise for many reasons. You're learning how to use your right brain, which we call right brain magic, and it is going to be magical tonight. So Richard, connect with Babaji if you would, and tell us, see him now, he's really anxious to come and talk to our listeners, and tell us what you feel in his energies.
Yes, he has this beautiful, loving energy. I experience his energy very centrally, but also spread somewhat left and right of center. This beautiful, powerful, and yet gentle love energy. Just a beautiful, beautiful energy. It has both this power and this almost it's almost like you know, fairy steps, really dancing but very gentle energy. Very interesting, very interesting. Beautiful, powerful, and yet gentle. It's a really interesting combination. And as I said, very much centered on love. Just a beautiful experience. Really, really beautiful love energy, as I say. Very central and clear. It's like it carries almost this perfection. It's fascinating.
And I hope all of you out there who are listening to this show can feel Babaji's love energy. Let me know. Send us an email if you feel this tonight. We want you to connect with him. We want you to feel the love. He is a very special being. And Babaji, I'm sure, has a message for us. Richard, what is it?
I guess we'll find out, huh?
I guess we will.
Oh, I thank the two of you for creating this opportunity for me to come forth in this manner. As you mentioned, Carolyn, it is unusual for you to work with someone that is still embodied upon the planet, and yet in some ways I am a little unusual in the sense that those that were born, those that came forth upon the planet in a similar time frame to me, have long gone. And many will doubt that I indeed have remained upon the planet for such an extended period of time. Wonder how that could possibly be. But this is not as unusual as you might think. And I say this for two reasons. Firstly, before the fall in Atlantis, it was not uncommon for individuals to remain incarnated for several thousand years. Not at all uncommon, because the physical body did not age at that time. And many of you understand that it has been the decay of the telomere that causes the aging process for the most part, though there are other factors at work. But you see, I am not alone in having lived a long period of time on the planet. Perhaps I am the longest since the fall in Atlantis, but there have been others who have mastered the ability to remain in the physical body for an extended period of time. For example, that one you know of as Saint Germain lived as a relatively young man for some 400 odd years. That one you know of as Merlin indeed also lived for several hundred years. And additionally, that one that was the grandmother of Yeshua, known to many of you as Anna or Saint Anne, lived for over 800 years for the most part, again, with a physical age of about 35. And so there are many others indeed that have done this, but they are usually not so much in the public eye, and they have devised strategies to be not noticed, if you will, noticed by way of having remained at a particular age for a long, long period of time. And so, whilst it has been unusual, you might say, for me to live as long as I have, it is a choice that I made for a number of reasons. Those who lived several hundred years could have remained in their physical body for as long as I have done, but they chose not to. They had achieved what they wished to achieve, and so they moved on. It was a conscious choice. And so my choice to stay incarnate for this long has been a conscious choice that I made. Indeed, I made a commitment to remain upon the planet until this shift in consciousness, which is about to reach us. And I will remain a little beyond that time, but not a great deal of time beyond that. I have fulfilled my commitment. I have fulfilled my purpose. And perhaps I should take a moment to explain the reason that I chose to remain so long. I began by mastering the aging process, and I spent a long time doing this. And I built many disciplines and understandings in that process. And as I came to understand the history of humanity, because this information is available to those who practice the kind of skills that I have practiced, then I understood that this transition awaited humanity. And I also came to understand that I was, in a manner, holding the light upon the planet. Now, I am not claiming I was the only one that was doing this, because there have been many beings that have come forth to, you might say, hold the light on the planet. But I came to understand that there was a special reason for me to hold the particular aspect of light that I have held for this long period of time. And that was to maintain a thread, you might say, of the light on the planet for this extended period. In its own way, it was an expression of mastery over those that would dominate or indeed potentially destroy humanity. I stood against that, and it was important to do this. I also have mastered many other skills in my lifetime, and some of these are shared in that book, Anna, Grandmother of Jesus, which for the most part is an accurate book, brought forth by that one who called herself Claire Hartsong. And perhaps even more powerfully in the book written by Yogananda called Autobiography of a Yogi, which is a book that I recommend to you if you wish to begin to understand some of the great gifts, some of the great abilities that the human form is capable of, yet most people do not accept. And it is not just what Yogananda achieved or I achieved, but indeed he shares the story of many others who achieved great abilities, great levels of capability and control over the human form. He speaks of those who lived for many, many years without consuming food, for example, and indeed anyone can do this, and it has become easier over time. Indeed, I consume food because I enjoy consuming it, and I do it in part as a social function to share in the experience of eating communally with others. But I do not need to eat food if I choose not to. I have also developed the practice of being able to not only move my body from one location to another, but indeed to be able to express that physical form in more than one location at the same time, which is called bilocation. Again, there have been many who've mastered these kinds of abilities. I do not claim them uniquely to myself. But I mention it because these kind of abilities will begin to emerge once more for those of you who choose to participate in the ascension process that is very soon at your doorstep. And so, in a way, I practiced and developed and mastered skills and had them be expressed on the planet within this consciousness, skills that were alive and well in the time of Atlantis and will be alive and well once more beyond the ascension process that will soon be upon you. And so, not only, in a sense, was I carrying that thread of light, but also sustaining, you might say, in the grid system, the knowledge and the understanding of these skills and abilities so that they would be more readily available to humanity beyond the ascension process. So these are just a few of the things that I, you might say, have practiced in my long sojourn upon the planet. And I must say, I am pleased to be coming to the end of my commitment to remain upon the planet until beyond the ascension process. And I will say to you that even though this process seems almost upon you, and most of you that are listening to this call have expected to see more evidence of the preparation before now in some tangible sense. I say to you that indeed a great deal of preparation has been undertaken in the background. A great deal of work has been done, and indeed you are seeing this in a great many ways. You are seeing individuals stepping forth and saying no more to this current expression of consciousness, this current domination of humanity by a few. They are standing up and saying no. And they are standing up and saying to people, you need to look at this. You need to understand what is going on. And such things would not have happened even 3 or 4 years ago. Yes, some of those projects were started longer ago than 3 or 4 years, but they are coming forth now. They have come forth in the last year or so. And these changes are all part of the transition. Yes, the bottom line choice, if you will, is for people to acknowledge their Creator and prepare. But indeed, it is important for humanity as much as possible to claim their own sovereignty, to claim their own right to thrive, to use that word that has been expressed by those that brought forth that particular movie. Humanity has that right to thrive without domination, without control by any others. And so it is that there are groups coming forth in this manner. And this is all part of that preparation, even though many do not understand this. Similarly, a great deal of work has been done to ensure that those who have dominated humanity for the most part, and this group is commonly referred to by many as the cabal in your language. A great deal has been done to allow them to create a noose for themselves. And that noose is currently tightening. And you will see them disempowered. All of these things have been long planned. It was long ago said that these individuals, should they choose to walk this path, would believe that their domination, their complete domination, would be within their grasp, only to see it snatched from them. And this indeed is the situation. They feel they almost have that domination in place. They are so close to completing that process. They are so arrogant about what they have achieved, and they will see it slip from them very quickly. And so this preparation has gone on. And so I wanted to alert you to this. And indeed, it is something that I watch, and you may find it strange that I spend my time, you might say, sequestered in the Himalayas. And yet, I am aware of these events happening in the world. Again, I am able to tap into this and monitor it very easily if you understand how to do these things. And there are many around the world that connect with me and communicate with me. And through them, I am able to monitor directly or indirectly what is happening in your world. And so I am a great deal more aware and connected than you might imagine. And so I work with many people around the world, not only those that come and spend time with me, as some do, but indeed others who connect with me in meditation or indeed in the dream state and work with me in this way. And those of you that have had that experience, understand this indeed is a valid experience. It is a true experience. You are indeed connecting with me. You are all multidimensional beings. And I say that because some of you will wonder how I can be incarnate in this dimension and yet be able to connect so widely with so many. But indeed, any of you can do this if you understand the skills and abilities necessary and you practice them. You can do this. There are certainly thousands of individuals that are currently incarnated that I monitor very closely and assist when needed. Some of them do not even realize that I do this. But we had agreements prior to their incarnation that I would provide this support for them, and I do. This is another responsibility that I carry and have taken on. And so I do wish to take a moment to, in a way, alert those of you that are listening to the role that these two that are hosting this radio show and have been kind enough to bring me forth in this manner, to share with you the important role that they play. These two have come forth over many, many lifetimes, beginning in Atlantis and down through the ages to ensure that the threads were in place, to ensure that the groundwork was done, you might say, so that all that needed to be prepared for this time which is about to unfold could be prepared. And indeed, you might say they represent the leaders of this consciousness and the leaders of the unfolding of the ascension process. These two have brought forth information that you will have seen from no others, and some have used this to discredit these two. But I want you to understand the importance of the role that they play and the roles that they represent over time. Some of you may indeed understand that I carry a deep connection in particular with Richard, because the monad that sent me forth is the one that you would know of as Archangel Sandalphon. And in one sense, Richard also represents that, though indeed he arises from a level beyond Sandalphon. And so we too have had quite a connection since he came to understand this, and we have had many conversations over the last 3 to 4 years. So I wanted you to understand this and to understand the importance of the role that these two play. It is no accident that they are here doing the work that they are doing, displaying skills that few others have mastered in the way that they have mastered, and gathering the cherubim, as you have seen. They did not know that this would be part of their role. They could only see that this happened when they, you might say, looked over their shoulders and saw what was happening. They did not realize that this was to unfold, and yet all of this was planned before they came. There are no accidents in any of this. And so I wanted to let you know what a beautiful time this is, that you are all present here within this special time, this transition for humanity. It has been and will be a tumultuous time on so many levels. The changes that will occur between now and the December solstice will amaze many, because they will be truly transformational on so many levels. The nature of this consciousness will be shaken up quite dramatically. Humanity does need to be awakened, and it will take a shock for most to begin to realize how they have been entrapped, because in truth, they have been entrapped. But if you are listening to this radio show, then on some level, in some manner, you have begun already to awaken to these truths. And so this is my message to you all, and I thank you for the opportunity to bring it forth.
Thank you so much, Babaji. I was quite amazed when you mentioned that the people in Atlantis lived several thousand years. And so I have some questions that I want to ask you first. And then if there are any in the audience that wish to bring their questions to you, we would be glad to relay them. Now, you said that you were here holding the light, that you made a commitment to do this. And who did you make that commitment to, dear soul?
I, in a sense, made that commitment to the two of you. I also, in a sense, made it to Sandalphon, and I made it to all there is. But ultimately, I made that commitment to the two of you, because I came to understand the importance of the work that was being done. I came into this consciousness like every other human being with my memories shorn. But I chose to be born into a context where those memories could be rapidly awakened. And so I was not long on the planet before I came to understand a little of who I was and why I had come. And so this was something that I understood at, relative to my current age, at a relatively early point. And in a way, it seemed such a huge amount of time that I would have to be present on the planet when I came to understand it. But you see, firstly, I came to understand that lives were indeed so long in the time of Atlantis, and indeed in other areas of the cosmos. But also, life is lived a day at a time. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter who you are. Life is lived a day at a time. And if you live it in that way, indeed a moment at a time, then there is great joy in every moment of existence and in every moment of being in a physical body. There are so many things that one can do in a physical body that one cannot do without it. And so it has been, for me, a very enjoyable and satisfying experience.
Thank you. When did you first come to the planet, Babaji?
Those that have done their homework have worked out that I came to the planet over 2,500 years ago, and that indeed is accurate. Some 570 years BC, as you express things, or BCE today. And so I have been here a long time.
Yes, you have. Are there others like you holding the light on this planet?
As I mentioned, there are others that come and go. And there are also beings that live within the planet that have been here, in some cases, longer than I have. They are not incarnated in the manner that you and I are. However, they are souls that have remained within the planet since before the fall in Atlantis. Some of these are Earth Guardians. Some carry specific roles to protect particular treasures, particular important items within the planet. And they have been present for a lot longer than I have. And I communicate with many of these on an ongoing basis. In terms of those who are incarnated, some indeed are aware that I have a sister, Mataji, and she and I remain in contact, and she is less visible than I, but indeed has been upon the planet for a very similar amount of time.
I have heard that the whales also hold the light for the planet. Is that true?
Some species of whales and the dolphins hold a particular expression of consciousness that, in a sense, humanity is not in a place to hold since the fall. And so you might say they are guardians of a particular aspects of consciousness for the planet and for humanity. Indeed, that consciousness that they hold is a consciousness that is necessary to support Gaia. And it is a role that humanity used to fulfill more comprehensively than they are currently able to. And so the whales and the dolphins guard this consciousness, carry this consciousness on behalf of Gaia and on behalf of humanity.
Thank you, Babaji.
There are also other animals that have a great deal more wisdom and understanding than humanity recognizes. Indeed, there are many examples of this, but perhaps the greatest would be the elephant. The wisdom, knowledge, and understanding that the elephant carries is significantly underestimated. The other one that would perhaps surprise you is the octopus. It is an extremely important animal, you might say, in the scheme of things, because, again, it carries an important level of not only consciousness, but intelligence. It is something that humanity has to some degree begun to understand, but only a small part of what they are truly capable of.
Thank you. This might seem a little off track, but I am very curious about something. Do you have an awareness of the Pyramid of Cheops and its history?
I do have an awareness of that pyramid.
Is it true that it holds information for humanity found or located beneath the pyramid?
The pyramid includes a number of underground pathways that have been lost in some cases, some of which have been rediscovered, but they traveled a long distance from the pyramid in the original structuring of things. And there is a great deal of knowledge and wisdom encoded into the pyramid. Some have begun to understand how accurately that pyramid was created, both from the point of view of its shape and its orientation, and indeed that the massive stone blocks could not have been transported in the manner that your current history would try and convey. In terms of secrets, however, or information for humanity, perhaps you are more referring to the material which is held below the Sphinx. There were records kept from the time of Atlantis, which were placed in several locations around the world. One was in Peru, and one is under the Sphinx, and one is also in Europe. And this information will come forth at the appropriate time, but indeed is actually held to the Sphinx. And the traditional view of the Egyptologist that these things were built maybe 3,500 years ago or so is completely inaccurate. These were created back in the time of the Atlantean civilization, Atlantean consciousness. So these buildings are more like 13,000 plus years old. And this is how you might view them from your timelines. However, it is even more complicated than this, because these, particularly the pyramid, is a multidimensional structure. And so in some senses it is newer, in others it is way older than the timeline that I have given you.
Thank you, Babaji. I have so many questions to ask of you, and time is marching on, so we are going to go to a caller, Dee, on line two. Dee, we would like to know what question you have for Babaji, please.
Yes, thank you. This is a personal question. Babaji, kind sir, did you appear to me in a vision right before my arm was broken?
When was your arm broken? That's Richard
About
asking that question.
4 or 5 years ago.
4 or 5 years ago. You're saying I'm aware of you, Dee, and I came forth in your experience at that time.
Oh, wow. Okay. I was so excited to hear that you were on the line. I really resonated with you. So, do you have a message for me now?
You are a deeply spiritual being that has come forth to connect with these changes. You are undertaking key preparatory work in your sleep, as many others are. And you simply need to continue forward as you are, because the work that you need to do, you are doing in your sleep. So trust this. And simply walk forward in your life.
Thank you, brother. Thank you.
Be joyful in this, Dee. We're just delighted to connect him with you.
I am too.
Yeah, enjoy the day, dear.
And Richard. All right,
yes.
Blessings.
Blessings. Is it fair to say, dear one, that this information that has been deposited under the Sphinx in Peru and in other places was done to give a history of humankind so they know the path that they walked?
This is a key part of why this information was held, because the records, you might say otherwise, of the existence of that civilization, that level of consciousness, have been destroyed. And they have been destroyed in part intentionally so that humanity would not be distracted by this knowledge, but also the artifact stream, for the most part, has been collected and destroyed by those who wish to keep humanity captive. And indeed, this process is ongoing. Any evidence of abilities that might seem beyond what is the accepted mode of behavior is gathered up and either destroyed or kept in a manner that is not available to humanity in general. And so those records that were kept not only documented history, but also documented skills and abilities and understandings that humanity held at that time. It also includes understandings of why the fall happened and what was involved, the nature of the human form before the fall, and so many other things, so that this understanding is in place. So yes, part of this is history, but also part of it is the documenting of skills and abilities and so on, which will support their coming forth and their being accepted by humanity beyond the ascension process.
Thank you. Peter is on line 3. Peter, do you have a question for our beautiful guest, Babaji?
Yes, I do. And it's so wonderful that we can speak to him or hear him this way directly. I have been pretty interested in Babaji since many years ago when I read the Yogananda's book. But recently, over the last year or so, I've had very strong feelings about whenever I hear his name or any connection. I was very excited today when I heard this. I wanted to ask about what are either in this incarnation or another, if you could tell me anything about our connection, either
now,
in the body or
this
or
connection,
outside.
Peter, do you mean Babaji or someone else? I kind of misunderstood
the connection, the connection with Babaji.
Oh, okay. So Peter wants to know if he has a connection to Babaji. Richard?
Yes. You are one that came and walked with me in a past life. And in doing so, we opened up a close connection. And it is that connection that is informing your current life. It is that connection that is giving you this sense of connection with me that is bubbling up inside you in this lifetime. Indeed, the connection goes back beyond our incarnated forms on Earth, because your monad is one that has acted in support of the light, as mine has over many expressions of what you call time. And so there is a very deep thread of connection that runs through. But what you are sensing is that connection that arises from the time when you came and worked with me in the Himalayas.
Well, Peter, how is that for a gift?
that is a wonderful confirmation of the feelings that I've had. It's a very emotional connection that I have with him.
Thank
as well.
You, Peter.
And I love him very much. I love you very much.
Aww.
Thank you.
How beautiful. It is all about love, isn't it? Roger is on line 4. Roger, do you have a question for our dear guest, Babaji?
Sure. Hi, Richard and Carolyn, Babaji. My question is this. Is I understand that as we come down here, we are a finger of a monad. However, when we actually leave, and let's say we cross over and we return to the monad, does our same personality come back in another form or not?
Richard, did you hear that?
Yes. Let me begin by correcting your understanding, because when an incarnation ends, that finger of consciousness does not immediately return to the monad. Indeed, it continues to journey forth. It is like an independent expression of consciousness that continues its own independent journey. That is why these two are readily able to connect with beings on the other side. Those beings that they connect with, for the most part, are fingers of consciousness that have been incarnated upon the planet. And so they continue to journey. They continue to exist as those fingers of consciousness, sustaining all the while their connection back to the monad. And so when an individual reincarnates, in truth, it is not that same finger of consciousness, but a new one that comes forth. And the issue of personality, as you call it, is an interesting one, because personalities of fingers of consciousness can be very, very different depending upon the nature of the path that they have chosen. However, it is also not uncommon that similar characteristics are expressed in different fingers of consciousness as they come forth, different incarnations, because these are often expressing the inherent, you might say, personality of the monad, and a personality style that they, that is the monad, enjoyed expressing on the planet. So there are many reasons why these similarities can come forth, but it is not that the same finger of consciousness returns, or that personality that existed in a given lifetime specifically returns. It does not work in that manner.
Thank you for your question, Roger. I think the answer was very enlightening. Yes. Bless you. The time on this show is passing by very quickly. It's always that way, isn't it, Richard? It's like a wink in the eye. Now, from what you've said, Babaji, am I to think, perhaps, that there was another finger of consciousness from your monad that lived in Atlantis?
As I indicated, I came forth from Sandalphon, and indeed, Sandalphon has sent many fingers of consciousness to the planet, including in Atlantis.
And so you would have a great connection by memory to Atlantis, I would think.
Yes.
Is it fair to say that these moments that we are living here, the end of this cycle, is similar to what happened in Atlantis as defined by the darkness that descended there? Is that a fair summation?
There certainly are similarities for several reasons. Firstly, those souls that were the driving force for the control and the abuse of the light, those dark priests in particular, have reincarnated in this time as they are given another opportunity to choose a different path. And perhaps unsurprisingly, for the most part, they have not. And so they are replaying those same patterns. They do not have compassion, and they are driven by power and the desire to control and their belief that they have the right to dominate and control humanity. And so, in so many ways, the patterns of behavior that were present at the fall of Atlantis are the same patterns that are being expressed now. The details are a little different because some of the powers, some of the tools that were available to those beings before the fall in Atlantis are not available now. And so the levels of abuse, you might say, are less comprehensive. They have not been able to create beings, for example, that are a mix of the human and animal forms, as was done in Atlantis. But certainly there have been different forms of enslavement of the soul, if you will, the enslavement of humanity that have been played out. Also, there are patterns, there are cycles that get played out. And in many ways, what is unfolding upon the planet is a replay of that cycle that culminated in the fall in Atlantis. Except this unfolding is a little different. This unfolding will see the termination of those who have been driving this domination, and those who wish to pursue a path of the light, rather than falling further, will actually rise up and be freed from this domination. So the patterns are in many ways similar, but the outcome will be very different.
Thank you, Babaji. We have about 6 minutes. Not a lot of time to answer callers, not a lot of time to really get down to some information that I wanted to get from you. For instance, I wanted to know somewhat of your understanding of what will happen to the physical body at the end of the year, how it will evolve, how consciousness will evolve, how the planet will evolve. Would you be willing to come back at another time and discuss some of these issues?
I would be very willing to come back and discuss these things with you.
Thank you, because I feel that these are questions that is in the heart of so many human beings. There has been so much said about ascension, about rejuvenation, and I think, you know, people really want to know what's going to happen to the physical and what life is going to be like when we pass through that era. And so it would be marvelous. And I thank you so much in advance for being willing to come back and discuss this. That would be a thrust of the nature of questioning that I would have. And so I want to thank you in a very special way, Babaji, for coming tonight, for holding the light on the planet, for being the faithful being that you have been to your promises. So you have done this tremendous work, and we bless you for that, and we thank you. And look forward to the time when you will come forth again.
Thank you. It has been my pleasure to come and contribute in a small way to people's understandings, both of firstly my existence and secondly the reasons that I have stayed here for so long, and to contribute a little to people's understandings of what is unfolding in this time. And so I thank you for the opportunity to come forth in this way.
Thank you, Babaji. I think what we have covered tonight is sort of like the first step. And these other questions that I have in my mind is, as I see it, sort of like the second step that I think we could assist people with. And I thank you for that. And I thank you, Richard, for the magnificent job again that you have done in using your talents and skills to connect this way. I know the energy that it takes to do this kind of work. And I would just like to thank you publicly. People have no concept of the amount of energy and what it takes for an individual to do this kind of work. And so I honor you for that.
Thank you, Carolyn. And thank you for your contribution, setting up the context for it, and holding the connection that you do with this work is just beautiful. And thank you, Babaji, for coming forth in this manner.
Richard, we have 2 minutes. Not a lot of time, considering that we're two talkers. I would just like for you, if you are willing, in these 2 minutes, just to mention this extraordinary work that we are offering to people concerning their soul journeys.
Yes, the soul origin and history readings that we've begun to do are really quite extraordinary. The content of them in some aspects goes back to the very beginning and traces some of the very early history, you might say, of creation. But the understandings that come forth in relation to a soul, the soul's journey, the monad's journey, and how that is then played out on the planet is really quite fascinating. And if you're not aware of it, I posted a YouTube video of the first family soul origin and healing reading that we did, and the couple involved with that were very generous in being willing to share that material with us and with anybody else that wishes to connect with it. And so our dear friend Adam in Greece has done some beautiful work to turn that into a YouTube video, and so you'll find that on the Soul Origin and History website. I should alert you, it runs for nearly 2 hours.
But people can listen to it in pieces. You don't have to sit the whole 2 hours. Just thought I'd mention that.
And it's just extraordinary material. And I encourage you to, if nothing else, share in the experience of that material and share in the experience of listening to Carolyn bringing this forth from universal consciousness. Listening to it and experiencing that is quite something in itself.
Also, the people who this was done for were very generous in giving their opinion of what they heard.
Indeed.
So, my friends, goodbye for now. We'll see you next week, God willing.
Good night, Carolyn. Good night, everyone.